Welcome to WitWorks Radio. It is Tuesday, December 3rd, and this is Abby Pober from Co-ops and Careers, and I am joined today by three fantastic Wentworth colleagues who I'm going to let introduce themselves.
Yes, it's Rhea Kalinowski, Co-op and Career Advisor.
It's Faith Beatty, Associate Director, Co-ops and Careers, and we have as our guest here Monique Fuchs, who's the Associate VP of Innovation and Entrepreneurship.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here today. So today we're really hoping to just learn more about Accelerate and the ways students can get involved and how ultimately it helps. What I think is so great about Accelerate and the reason that I really wanted to have you here today was I think that it really marries what we do here on campus so well with experiential learning and classroom learning and having students really test the limits of their education in kind of this unique space. So I'm just really excited to learn more about how you make it happen and how students interact with your center. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role here at Wentworth and why Accelerate exists today?
Sure. So originally I'm from Germany. We came to the States in 2001 and I only planned on staying here for 2 years, which has been now almost 19 years ago. and now it doesn't look like we would ever move back. But school actually never worked for me. And, you know, that was something that I carried with me in my professional life as well, because school is so focused on the actual content piece that what ends up making you successful in your career and in life is really competencies. And when we launched Accelerate or conceived Accelerate in 2011, we said, well, let's create something that actually would help push some of those competencies. And innovation and entrepreneurship are two catalysts that actually help push risk-taking, for example, or, you know, having confidence or being able to adapt and be resilient, right, and iterate things. And those are all important competencies that you need in order to be successful in your capstones, in your projects, when you're going out pitching for a co-op or in your life in general. And so we launched Accelerate with a focus on building people in 2012. And so it was kind of the perfect storm because we got the green light from the provost's office at the time, like 2 weeks before the summer semester started. And so we thought either we're going to figure out how to make it great and what we think is useful for students over the summer and then launch in the fall, or we just kind of jump in and build it with them as we go and iterate a lot. And since this was something we've tried to tell them that that is what they should be doing, we felt like we have an obligation to do it ourselves. And so at the time, I actually had a co-op with me. He was off track, Sean Smith, and he was the perfect person to launch this with because he already had a job lined up with PwC. And he was just ready to engage in the external ecosystem. And so it was just a brilliant mix of our two forces, you know, coming together. And he was able to rally so many students internally. And we launched it as a pilot. And so during that summer, we really painted the whole campus literally red, orange, and we broke a lot of rules. And we were very intentional about it. And it was really cool because I think some of the departments felt they were part of the conspiracy. Mm. Right, like okay. We got banners on a building, which you can't really have banners on a building. But, you know, physical plant was just so super supportive. Student affairs was just an amazing partner. And everybody kind of helped push the notion of it. And because it was conceived as a pilot, it felt like non-threatening. And we thought if we get 10 students, we can just kind of test it with them and learn what works, what doesn't work. But we ended up having 70 in the first iteration. And so that first semester, we had two students from Electromech and from Industrial Design who built a pedicab. And, you know, you've seen pedicabs. They're huge. And, you know, they decided to make a more ergonomic friendly and more robust pedicab because apparently they are constantly breaking. And they would build this thing, and because it was so big and it would be on campus, it was an amazing, like, built-in marketing opportunity for us.
Yeah.
And so they ended up getting funding through the Startup Challenge program, and they were picked up by the Boston Globe and then picked up by the editorial of the Globe, and that kind of sealed the deal for Accelerate, right? And in my mind, I was like, oh my God, like, we actually really don't know what we're doing, so I have no idea how we can replicate this and keep going. And the following semester, we got lucky and had another student team, Gen 2, with Greg Afsa, who is now an alum. He was an industrial design student. And one of his co-founders was also coincidentally Electromag, and they pushed Gen 2 forward and were accepted into Mass Challenge. And so that kind of started the process of students just having the ferociousness and just the excitement of coming with any idea that they have and working across disciplines and just being able to engage and just see where stuff leads them. Wow. And so our focus has always been on building people, and I think that's really important to remember.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
I love how you phrase that, building people. I think that's great. So when you think about that in terms of Accelerate, do you have a mission? I mean, what do you have, an articulated mission, or where is that?
Yeah, so our mission is that we are building innovative thinking and entrepreneurial confidence to impact students' careers and trajectories. And that was intentional because we really focus on building people. Mm-hmm. But then when you think about innovation, entrepreneurship, not everybody is going to be an entrepreneur, and that's okay. But you do have to have that entrepreneurial spirit, like anywhere you go. And that could be part of you just having a job, but recognizing within a large company, like what are some of the projects or some of those partnerships that you could engage with that actually would move the needle. And if you don't have that entrepreneurial thinking, right, you are not likely to actually engage with some of those people or some of those organizations externally. And I think that's really important. So that's the part that we wanted to transmit. That innovative thinking part is really using methodologies like design thinking, for example, to help you just get out of your comfort zone. You know, how can you seek intentional inspiration? And that can come from anywhere. And I think universities in particular do a very bad job in actually instilling inspiration, because every discipline is so siloed, right? And everybody educates, like, for example, architecture students would naturally gravitate to going to architecture lectures. Or if you have external folks come in that are architects, they're like, yeah, of course, I mean, we need to go to that. I would say, like, let's just bring in musicians, let's just bring in chefs, let's just bring in people that we don't think of, because innovation happens at the intersection where you don't expect it. And I think that's really so important, right? That's why people go to TEDx's, because you're not going there and looking at the talks and thinking, yeah, that sounds interesting, I could learn something. No, you go there because you want your mind to be blown and you want to learn something that you didn't even think exists. Mm-hmm. And so I think there is a value in kind of creating a platform where students can just experience that. And so that's what we wanted to do. The reason why we have impacting career choices and trajectory as part of it is because if I can take a student, and we had like the Gen 2 co-founder who was an electromechanical student, he came and he thought he would work for a big company as an entry-level engineer. And that was his blueprint when he started to come to Wentworth. And then when he was going through the Accelerate process, he recognized that, hey, you know, I could do something on my own. And so he ended up actually taking over his family business that is like a medical device business. And he's still running it, and he revamped it, he transformed it quite a bit. But that's amazing, right? If we can take students and they come in with an idea of themselves doing one thing, but then they are getting exposed to projects or ideas or individuals that would put them on a different track, that is amazing. Like, if you can open those horizons and you actually have an impact on people's career choices and trajectories, I think then we've done our job.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Fascinating. That's so inspiring.
Yeah.
It really is. So do you have a typical student that you would see come through Accelerate, or typical developmental stage, or?
I don't think so. I mean, Accelerate is a place where anyone can join. Initially, when we conceived Accelerate, the idea was that, oh, it is for seniors because they already know something. I don't think that matters. You don't need to know something. You just need to be curious, and you need to be interested enough to figure things out. You need to be able to ask good questions or learn how to ask good questions. And so if we can get students the first semester, first year, and they stay with us until they graduate, I think that's brilliant. If they fail a bunch of times, if they pivot a bunch of times, if they exchange their team a bunch of times, even if they don't have a team and they're just coming as individuals, right? I think all of those things just show that they are engaged and wanting to build their networks and being able to think across disciplines, I think that's pretty powerful. And so, no, there is really not like the ideal student that we look for, but definitely people that just want to figure things out, I think is usually the landing spot for them.
And so someone coming into Accelerate doesn't necessarily have to come in with a fully formed thought, or that you'd probably not in general, because you'd want them to be open-minded or not a fully formed team or anything.
No, they really...
curiosity.
Exactly. Like, they don't really have to have anything. And I think that's part of the preconceived notion that Accelerate has on campus, because we started with the program, the Startup Challenge, and we do have pitch rounds. We actually have one coming up on Wednesday at 5:30, actually. And people think that, oh, that's what I have to have. I have to have an idea. I have to have a team. No, you don't have to have any of it. You know, sometimes you think you have an idea, but you don't even know what problem it is that you're trying to solve, because you've already jumped through so many conclusions and assumptions, and you really want to debunk them, right? So being willing and able to go into the mud and go out and talk to consumers, go talk to patients, you know, go talk to the individuals that you're trying to serve with your idea, and have an open mind and just learn what really resonates with them to make the idea better, right? We have a sticker that actually says, love the problem. And I think that's in its core where it comes down to. Don't have an idea, right? Love the problem. Because if you love the problem, you're totally agnostic towards what your idea is. And you're much more flexible. And you're much more willing to actually listen to constituencies outside or inside to help you formulate the best solution for that problem.
That makes sense. Right.
And so I think that's what we want, right? There are different levels of engagement with Accelerate. Like, you can just be showing up to any of the workshops or any of the events we have. We have student coaches, so anybody who has an idea as a capstone or as a project or something they're thinking about doing as part of their co-op can always come in and get like mentoring or feedback. We do have think tanks and city labs, which are, you know, high immersive events with the external community, with industry, with neighborhood leaders, with government officials, faculty and students. So we're trying to push more of that macro thinking so students recognize, wow, I'm connecting to actually a bigger world out there. I'm not only solving a problem that I have in the dorm, but actually I can use it and extrapolate it into a larger context. And I think that's pretty important. So, you know, anybody can join anytime, like whatever they are seeking, you know, we're always trying to help them find a path.
That's great. And you loving the new space?
The new space is amazing. I mean, it's nice to have the window opportunity, right, to have students see what activity is happening there. We do have a garage door, which is now functioning, which is amazing. We love the garage door. It's a good way to pull students in from the quad and just make them curious. And it's a good landing spot also for clubs. So we have our costume club, for example, work out of the space, and they've been doing unbelievable things. And I think it's so cool for them to take up space in Accelerate in the Makerspace area, because it's important for students to see what is around. And because they produce, you know, physical things, like they have all their clothings or their costumes, it's just amazing and so relevant for someone who would be doing a medical device product, for example, or a medical accessory, right? They could learn from them on how to conceptualize it with a sewing machine, work up quick prototypes. So there is so much cross-pollination of knowledge, and I think that's really the attraction point. And students seem to love the space. They hang out there a lot.
And how about faculty?
So we have faculty members. Originally, when we launched Accelerate, we didn't do it with faculty members because we wanted to go to the source immediately. And we knew that students want to play across disciplines and they didn't care for the red tape that may or may not be among the different departments. And, you know, our approach was that if we create a lot of excitement within the student body, it will transcend like concentric circles into the faculty body. And that happened. So we have about, you know, anywhere between 20 to 50 faculty members who constantly engage with Accelerate in different venues. So they would participate in think tanks, for example, or city labs, or they would come and run office hours for us or do a workshop or do a lunch session and you know, be just part of the ecosystem. And I think that's really important for students to see because they do listen to faculty members and they want them to be part of the equation, and that's a good proposition.
I just feel walking in the space, you can't help but feel creative.
It's true.
It just embodies it. It's an awesome space, so it's great.
Yeah, so when you walk by, there's 3D printers in the front, right? And what other types of tools do you have available to students?
Yeah, so it's actually one of the few spaces on campus where all disciplines can just take a spot or, you know, utilize any of the equipment. So we have, you know, 3D printers. We do have a wood shop, which is really cool because it's not something that engineering students, for example, would have access to. And mm-hmm. wood is just such a versatile material. Mm-hmm. And you should be able to use it, you know, for quick prototyping. But it also could function as an overflow space for architecture and industrial design students. And then you do have like quick prototyping material. So we have an electrical station. If you are thinking about IoT products, for example, we have sewing machines. And we are always pretty open when students come in with a project that requires some special equipment that we might not have. If it is something that could serve, you know, a larger purpose and help other teams down the road or other students, we will purchase it if it is part of our budget. Mm. And so I think we are growing kind of with the space. We've also not established too many rules in the space. We want to see how students are starting to utilize it. And as things happen, right, we're starting to add policies to the mix. Nice. But we want it to be as free as possible so they can make it their own, which
That's
is
great.
Really important.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm curious to know or to hear about how you've seen a student who comes in kind of that first freshman or sophomore year, how you see them change from that first time they walk into Accelerate to maybe that last time they walk out before graduation. What are you seeing as like the big things that students are changing about themselves or walking out with that they didn't have when they first got there?
I think it's really the confidence is a huge part of it because we're definitely pushing the students to have a lot of external interactions. So we just had a hot seat a couple of weeks ago, and if a student team has an idea, you know, they're going to be placed among other student teams, and mentors from the outside world are coming in and kind of stress test their ideas and give them feedback and advice. And I think there is an initial, students sometimes don't know or don't understand that they actually are in a very powerful position, right? You're a student, so you can be a sponge, and nobody expects you to be a subject matter expert. But I think our society is creating that illusion that if you have an idea, you must know everything there is to know about that idea, and they really don't. So I think they put themselves under a lot of pressure when they are actually pitching ideas, and when they are getting questions, they're trying to answer them as part of like, I know. I want to demonstrate to you that I know something, right? But they really don't, and the subject matter expert immediately recognizes that they don't have a lot of pieces in place yet. So it's much better to actually revert and say, you know what, we just started, we've just been doing this for the last 2 months, and actually what we are looking for, and I'm curious about your opinion, is X, Y, and Z, or can you point us to other folks that we should be talking with, right? So be more in the sourcing mindset and in the sponge mindset and in the learning mindset rather than in the, oh, I have to make sure that they think I really have my act together. Mm. Because you really don't have to. You're a student, and you can get a lot of things for free, and you can get a lot of advice for free, and people are more than willing. In Boston's ecosystem, I found it's very welcoming for asking questions. You know, people are not sending you away. Like, they're trying to actually help you get to the next level. So that is something that we definitely see from a student coming in for the very first time until they graduate. You know, they definitely amp up their confidence level, and they get more sophisticated in asking questions. Mm. And more sophisticated about how do I research things? You know, once I've broken the mold on doing cold calls to manufacturers and asked them about how would I produce a short run of my product, the next time they do it, it's going to be so much better. Mm-hmm. That's why I always tell students, like, don't worry about it being a good idea that you are pushing through it to Accelerate, right? Just use anything you have, use it to exercise your muscles, and as you are going through it and you are hitting at some point a roadblock, next time you have a better idea, you're going to be able to activate it so much faster. Like, your competencies are going to kick in, you're going to be much more confident, you don't worry about going to that networking event out there where it's super scary talking to people because you've already done it before.
Right. Yeah, that confidence piece is definitely something I see with students, especially going into their first co-op. They don't even want to apply for positions because they feel like they don't know the skills that employers are asking for. And I tell them the same thing. You know, you don't have to be an expert. No one is expecting you to be an expert. Well, I don't know Revit. I'm like, well, but you've used SolidWorks, and it's very similar, and they are going to teach you anyway. So it's great that they're building their confidence in that way as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it makes a huge difference in how you show up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will never know everything there is to know in life. So you better get settled.
Yeah.
And there is actually a very good psychologist, who John Kabat-Zinn, who talks about the beginner's mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually really a perfect frame, because we all should be in a beginner's mindset
mm-hmm.
at any moment in time, because there are always things that we don't see and don't know, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Could you describe, you've referred to a few events or things that you do through Accelerate that perhaps people don't understand. So, for example, you said the hot seat, and you've done like the City Lab, and you referred to one other thing. I can't remember.
Think tanks.
Could you just give a brief description of those so people get an understanding of what type of events
mm-hmm.
that you offer?
Okay, so if we would classify them into entrepreneurship stuff
okay.
and innovation stuff, right? The entrepreneurship stuff would be the Startup Challenge, which is our program that we really launched Accelerate with. And it takes teams and any of the ideas that they have and allows them to go through the process of mentoring, being part of workshops, and all of those
and
kind of things that go
on. Over a semester or over academic year? Or
no, it's actually year-round.
Okay.
It crosses semesters.
Okay.
Like, it's not a defined program.
Okay.
We are trying to actually construct the workshops and any interaction with external folks in a way that it always stays fresh and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So a student team who has gone through a business planning workshop before doesn't feel like, oh, I've done that, I don't need to go to the next one. No, you should.
Yeah.
Because there are always different people, and they are always bringing a different angle and a different lens to the equation. So I think that is really important to keep in mind. And it also is a great engagement way for students that don't have a team, don't have an idea,
mm-hmm.
to just be able to slide into any of those slots. Part of the Startup Challenge is the hot seat. So it's kind of like a pre-testing of teams, and you know, any of the student peers can, of course, always join to just see what students are thinking about and what kind of ideas teams are pushing. It essentially is a team showcase. External professionals and folks from the startup and innovation ecosystem come to campus and kind of go from table to table and give advice and give feedback to some of those teams. And it kind of prepares them for the pitch round. Because the ideal way is that you can't answer a lot of questions you're getting, because that's a perfect spot, right? That's like that learning moment, and that's where they realize, oh, okay, I think I have to figure out like some of those answers, because the judges are going to likely ask me something similar.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just signifies, it just shows the gap that they have, and so it helps them prep for the pitch round.
Right.
The pitch round is an opportunity in front of a panel of judges to pitch your idea and potentially get funding. So the idea is you get as many opportunities to pitch and come back as often as you possibly can. So rather pitch for low amounts and burn through it quickly, accelerate the project, the idea, and then come back and pitch for the next level,
okay.
right? And the reality also is that at that stage, it's so early stage ideas that students don't necessarily need a lot of funding. It's always a preconceived notion that they think, oh, if I can't have, you know, that funding, then we can't go forward with our idea. And that's not true. Plus, funding exists in other
yeah.
venues outside, so we are not the only stream. If students perceive us as the only stream, then there is a problem too,
mm-hmm.
With them not being ferocious enough and looking outside into the ecosystem. So that's the Startup Challenge. And then we have innovation activity where we run, for example, think tanks and the City Lab. So they're on the opposite ends of a spectrum. The think tank focuses more on macro topics, so future of cities, future of aging. We've done the future of making. So it's kind of envisioning, where can we be in 20 years, right? What are some of the things that we have to consider as we are thinking about the future of cities, for example?
And that you have a significant number of external partners when you do that type of event.
Yep, so we always have like a 50-50 split.
Okay.
So 50% faculty and students, and 50% industry, community leaders, and government
okay.
Folks.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all like radically from different disciplines. So when we, for example, launched the Future of Cities think tank, people would immediately say, oh yeah, no, I know an architect, I know a construction manager. Yeah, okay, that's cool, but we really only need 10 to 15% of them, and the remainder should be musicians, should be nurses, should be other clinicians, should be law people, right? So you really want to subsidize it with folks that you don't already have in mind as a potential collaborator, because if you do, you're already thinking about a possible solution without actually understanding the problem. Mm-hmm. So it comes really from that place that you should be open to just ideas and input coming from anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it really works because those events are highly curated, so they're invite only. We have limited seats, and so we know those people. People that are attending are folks that you would sit and have a coffee with. And that's usually a pretty good indicator of them having good chemistry. Mm. And that makes the day really immersive and really exciting and fun. And so they usually utilize a lot of different cheap prototyping materials like pipe cleaners, plastic spoons, Legos, to kind of showcase their ideas. And towards the end of the day, they usually end up pitching those ideas, and we create booklets out of them. So it's used as a marketing tool for us, but also for each of those participants. And then we have the City Labs, which is on the other side of the spectrum. We started launching them last year with the Dutch consulate, actually, and District 4 and City Council President Andrea Campbell's office. And we've took the same methodology that we use in the think tanks, like for a day, immersion, coming up with ideas, but we focus on District 4 and looked at vacant properties. Mm. And so what could actually happen within those vacant lots and vacant properties? And because we had so many community leaders participate in it, it was extremely powerful for students, right? Because you're working in a group with someone who lives in the neighborhood, and whatever idea you're going to come up with can impact the way how their life is unfolding in any given day. And so that's a social pressure that you can't artificially create, right? Yeah. You have to actually put yourself in those shoes, and that's pretty powerful. And so students ended up taking some of those ideas further over the summer into a capstone and created a feasibility study, and they got just so hooked on the community and being able to do something meaningful that goes well beyond regular classwork. And so that's pretty powerful to create that kind of notion and that civic engagement.
That's a great example of how it kind of then permeated into the curricula here. So that's phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's really something that we would like to see more, right? I mean, see some of those co-curriculars who don't have the same red tape associated with them, mm-hmm. Then, you know, the programs are under accreditation constraints, for example. The co-curriculars aren't. So, you know, you have a lot of flexibility there, but they can really help steer the pot and create that buzz and energy that should then transcend into the curriculum. And that would be like the ideal connection point.
Absolutely. And I have seen the publications you've made, the books out of the, not City Labs, but out of the
think tanks.
And they're amazing. And the amount of energy and the amount of ideas and the process you go through, I think, is fascinating. So everyone should take advantage of looking at those. You have those over at the Accelerate space.
Yeah.
We've got one in our office, too. Yeah, it's really incredible.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. What else would you like people to know?
I think what's important is that, you know, every interaction point that you can have as a student to the outside world and any additional engagement that you can have beyond classwork is going to be a resume builder. And students sometimes don't necessarily think of it that way. I've heard from students that actually put the very early think tanks that we ran in 2013 on their resumes, and that's like one day we were talking about, right? And they went out to get a co-op, and they came back, and they share that was the conversation, was about the think tank. I'm like, oh my God, that is amazing. Because everybody...
It's a differentiator, right?
Yeah.
People
of course.
People are curious. It's
yep.
great. Yeah.
Because everybody else is sitting through the same classes.
Right.
So,
the same projects.
You know, how
the
can,
same skills.
Exactly. So how can you start, you know, to actually differentiate yourself, but also show that you are immersing yourself in different way in really trying to figure out how to have social impact, create product innovation, come up with ideas that are just not standard as part of your discipline.
Yeah, and it shows
so
a lot of initiative.
It says so much about a student exactly that they even would, you know, if they participate in that, how open-minded they are and how motivated they are. There's so many things that competencies, as you said, that
yeah, risk-taking, like you mentioned, yeah.
Yeah, which are all the foundational skills that employers are looking for, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, one of our student team, you know, created a medical device that was focused on heart patients, and it was like for aqua therapy. And it was experimental, and it would have taken a lot to actually get it out in the world. So they didn't end up doing anything with it after graduation. But one of the students was an industrial design student, and he wanted to work in the medical device area. And he didn't know he would until he was part of that project, because he realized that, wow, I can actually have a real impact in that field. And so he ended up being hired by the Wyss Institute as one of the very, very first industrial designers that they ended up bringing in to work with the engineering teams. And he wouldn't have gotten the job if he wouldn't have been part of that project idea. And so don't underestimate, you know, the power of immersing yourself in things that are tangential to your disciplines.
Right. Really, things that fail.
And things that fail, yeah. Because it really, at that point, it doesn't matter at all if it's been successful or not.
Right.
It just matters that you tried,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big portion of it. So
right.
That immersion aspect is really important, and that's what I would recommend students do.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can a student get involved if they're interested in walking into the Accelerate space?
Just do that.
That's it.
Walk through the door.
Walk in the space.
No worries about if they don't have a team or anything?
No, like we have a co-op who actually sits at the door, because many people have been extremely respectful of the space, right? Most of the spaces in the building are scheduled spaces, so they are labs. If you don't have a class in there, you are not going to go in. So people have been lingering around the door, not wondering, can I go in? Is it okay? And yes, it is your space. You know, you should walk in. And so our co-op is positioned on the door. So as you're just kind of peeking, he's going to pull you in.
Perfect.
And then Tori Lam, he is amazing. He is one of our architecture alums, actually. He has been sticking around with Accelerate, and he's now our makerspace lead, and he is just fabulous. And so he can bridge also that student experience and, you know, how you can take the most out of the space and how you can get engaged. And he is very encouraging and totally approachable. So, yeah,
great.
Just walk through the door.
Tremendous.
Yeah,
I love that.
And also, I loved earlier, I just want to emphasize that the costume club is operating out of the space, so you would encourage other organizations on campus that would like a creative space to connect with you and see what could happen there. So
would be amazing, right? Because this is the students' home.
Right.
Like this isn't our space.
Right.
And so the more we can open it up and the more we can have diversity reflective in the space, the more it will breed diverse ideas across campus.
Yeah.
And it's really just an access point. You know, it should be your launch pad. And you can take it wherever you want it.
That's great.
I love your enthusiasm. It's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I want to bottle some.
I know.
We all need to go over there.
Yeah.
Well, you always can come over there, too. You know, all the offices are more than welcome when you want a break of your regular spaces. You can either set up office hours there, or
you can
just do, like, a brainstorming session. We have tons of post-its. We have tons of prototyping materials.
Ooh, that's a good
and
idea.
Just use it as a space, you know, to just kind of get out of your typical funk and just start to seed more ideas.
Thank you.
We
love
certainly
that.
Can use it on campus, so.
Yeah.
Great. Do you have any other questions?
No.
Monique, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. I think we've all learned a lot. I think we've become inspired. And I just hope anyone who's listening to this just checks out Accelerate.
Definitely.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks
this was fun.
Coming.
This is
incredible.
Before we sign off, we have just a few announcements. The last day of classes is on Thursday, the 5th. I can't believe it's here, which means that the last day of drop-ins is this coming Wednesday. So we have drop-ins today and tomorrow from 1:30 to 4 in the office, and then we'll be back with our regularly scheduled drop-in hours at the start of the new semester in the spring in January. But that does not mean that your advisors are not available to you. The advisors are on campus all the way through to December 20th. We have a couple of staff trainings, so check in with the scheduling, but feel free to make an appointment with your advisors all the way through December 20th if you have any questions about co-op. If you are on co-op now, your evaluations were due yesterday.
Do them.
So hopefully you have them done, but if you don't, make sure you get them in as soon as possible.
And I'd also like to add, advisors are available over the phone and over email once you leave campus. So if you do have questions about upcoming co-op or anything else, let us know.
check us out on social media. You can follow us at WIT Co-ops Careers on Twitter, especially, and Instagram sometimes. So if you're looking for any need-to-know information, we're sharing stuff about scholarships and job opportunities and everything. Check out our website to stay up to date with everything. And I think that's it.
Well, Monique, you mentioned a pitch round tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. What is today? Tuesday. Yes, it's Wednesday. It's 5:30.
Okay.
So it's just going to happen in the Accelerate space.
Oh, great. Okay.
Great. Fantastic. And so we'll tweet about that as well. So make sure that you check that out if you can. Anything else, Faith?
No, I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Great.
Yeah, thank you.
This will be our last episode for the semester. So we'll see you in the spring.
In 2020.
Good luck with finals, everyone.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.